Hello, I'm Maggie Schmidt, and I'm coming from Columbia University, and I'm going to be presenting on the use of traditional risk management schemes to address financial barriers to utilization of emergency referral services in rural communities in northern Ghana. And this is a collaborative project between Columbia University and the Ghana Health Service, which is representing in the fourth row. Oh, and before I go any further, I have no financial interest to disclose. So I want to try and provide you with some context, because I know we're going from Michigan now to Ghana. But Ghana is in West Africa, and we're currently working in the most rural, poor region of the country, which borders Burkina Faso to the north and Togo to the east. So the basic demographics, infant mortality remains at 46 per 1,000 live births, and maternal mortality is 131 per 100,000 live births. And many of these deaths are preventable and due to delivery-related issues, including hemorrhage and prolonged obstructed labor. So to give you a better idea about how the health system operates in the Upper East region, the primary providers of health services in the Upper East come from a program called the Community-Based Health Planning and Services Initiative, more commonly referred to as CHIPS. And in this model, nurses provide doorstep services and are based directly in the communities that they serve. They focus largely on preventative care, health education, and the treatment of common childhood and other diseases. An important aspect within this model is understanding the role of community. Communities play an integral part in both the initiation and operation of the CHIPS program. In many of these areas, the communities collectively compile resources, sometimes revenue, land, raw materials, or manual labor, to help complete the construction of health compounds and corresponding accommodations for the resident nurses. And upon completion of these structures, they're given their own nurse. And the CHIPS program is actually based on the results of the Navrongo Community Health and Family Planning Project, which was an experiment conducted and was found to reduce child mortality by about a third. And it became a national policy in 1999. So although CHIPS is trying to cover geographical access, there's still the issue of financial access. And so the National Health Insurance Scheme was introduced in Ghana in 2003, as an attempt to try to provide universal health care coverage in Ghana. And although the package covers about 95% of diseases, these are primarily communicable diseases, and at present, the insurance scheme does not cover any costs related to emergency referral transport. And as noted before, with maternal and perinatal deaths largely attributed to complications with deliveries, the lack of both transport options and financial resources is a serious gap. So as part of a larger health systems development project known as the Ghana Essential Health Intervention Program, which has been developed to kind of target existing gaps within the primary healthcare system, CHIPS, and is also trying to accelerate the scale-up of CHIPS coverage within the region, one of the gaps identified is emergency referral. So this led to the development of the Sustainable Emergency Referral Care, CERC, program. And the hypothesis for CERC is to develop a context-specific community and sub-district level interventions designed to strengthen emergency referral systems, will improve access to emergency health care in rural impoverished communities in Ghana. This is just a brief overlay of where the intervention is taking place, and it's in the districts in blue, Bongo, Boso North, and Boso South. So I wanted to show how the aspect of community financing kind of fits into this larger evaluation framework aimed at evaluating the entire referral system being developed. Understanding community financing and its role in the sustainability is presently our third learning question. Is community financing a feasible, replicable, sustainable, and culturally compatible means of avoiding delays in seeking care arising from financial constraints that prevent the provision of timely emergency care in resource-poor settings? So a qualitative systems appraisal was developed to try and better assess the use of traditional community financing schemes to support the sustainability and utilization of CERC. So the term community financing that I keep saying, for those who are not familiar with it, involves practices of voluntary insurance arrangements based on a system of risk sharing between community members. And this can include pooling resources financial or in kind, to support a collective cause of the members within that group. And it goes by various names in the literature, including community financing, trust as insurance, community-based insurance, or mutual health organizations, to name a few. Through this evaluation process, we aim to examine how community financing schemes operate, thoughts on their efficacy, impressions on their feasibility, especially with respect to emergency referral. So we're basing this qualitative systems appraisal on the open systems theory and examining practices which are already grounded in history and inherent to the local culture. Furthermore, we're seeking on how to build better bridges between these existing practices within the social systems and integrate them better to meet the needs of the health system. So the qualitative systems appraisal was utilized as a tool for better understanding how these systems operate in order to attempt to strategically converge them. So in-depth interviews and focus group discussions were held with community leaders, chiefs, women's group members, district assembly representatives, and members of the health system, including nurses and administrative managers. So what do we learn and how can we utilize this information? There are about five major themes that came out of our work. The first was that resource gap in a referral can be identified. And then there's great variance in operational strategies and variance in effectiveness. Community ownership and where healthcare worker support fits into the scheme, and cost sharing and grassroots political engagement. So the resource gap in referral can be identified at the community level. The types and forms of community financing practices are robust and target a variety of different themes. And there's two of these themes in particular that we think are most relevant to the health system: insurance for adverse events and healthcare. So funerals were cited as the most common use of community financing. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Ghana or parts of the Bronx, funerals in Ghana are oftentimes several days, and they're large celebrations, and they cost quite a bit of money. And other aspects which people also noted was weather damage, including damage to infrastructure, personal and community-owned, and destruction of crops. Prior to the National Health Insurance Scheme, nurses that were properly introduced to communities were cited that they could use trusted insurance as a means for providing doorstep care with the expectation that extended families could be trusted to reimburse the system for the pharmaceutical or procedural cost. However, the presence of the National Health Insurance has kind of altered this practice more recently, and sometimes healthcare workers would continue to provide services under the assurance that the individual will then go renew their health insurance card. And then community finance funds were also used to cover health gaps or to serve philanthropic purposes, for example, for nighttime emergencies, or to help purchase health insurance to cover health costs for community members deemed as vulnerable, such as orphans or widows. There's also variance in the actual operational schemes. So there are commonalities identified across schemes, which include strategic involvement of opinion leaders, consensus building, the crucial role of governance mechanisms, and established fiscal policies. However, how these were actually operationalized in practice varied quite a bit across communities, fund types, and populations. This variance was related to geographical location, remoteness, historical practices or traditions within the community, leadership involvement, and resource availability. And an example of variance included fiscal policies for storing finances. Many communities cited they preferred to keep the funds within their actual communities, indicating that they already had existing community members who were delegated such responsibilities for safekeeping community funds. These members had established trustworthy reputations, regardless of their title, occupation, or educational status. On the other hand, some other communities cited that local financial institutions, banks, were more preferred. Reasons for this preference included accountability and that if it qualifies them eventually to get loans or gain interest. This variance, once again, was related to the distance to formal financial institutions and then existing local leadership structures, the size of the scheme, and then historical practices of trust. There's also variance in scheme effectiveness. Some communities were far more effective at developing and maintaining community financing schemes, and their ability to effectively operate these community financing schemes was acknowledged and respected by their neighboring communities. Further, members of communities indicated an interest in learning directly from these lead communities, seeking the opportunity to directly observe how they operated and attained their success. And these are just two examples of lead communities. One of them, this community was actually able to buy their own Motor King, which is that tricycle motorcycle. And then every time there's a market day, the whole community can carry all of their market goods collectively. And then the other one is a pavilion that was made outside of a health center for mothers while they're waiting to seek services or to hold community health clinics. So community ownership and healthcare workers. So from both the health staff and the community members, it became very clear the need for delineation of roles. Healthcare workers should be limited to facilitative and supportive to the system and schemes, but not as directive and organizational. Community ownership for the schemes was cited as the primary reason for this, although high staff turnover and migration makes it very difficult for the community health workers to closely be involved, with the potential for confusion and mismanagement. So what can health workers do to actually support CERC? The most cited example was emergency-related education. The nurses are already performing door-to-door services as part of their job, so focusing on emergency education and emphasizing the signs for emergencies and the dangers of delaying to seek care. They can also play a role in the sensitization on the importance of investing in these established community financing schemes. And then lastly, it was cited that they could play a central role in the actual assessment and confirmation of emergencies, especially when it necessitates the use of the community emergency vehicle. So cost sharing and grassroots political mobilization. Although the mobilization of funds is feasible, nearly all respondents indicated the need for close district assembly involvement. This is especially the case amidst kind of the growing grassroots political trends going on right now within the region. And part of this growing influence is of the district assemblies within the health sector is related to kind of bigger multi-sectoral foreign aid trends, which have resulted in increased funds being directed to a common fund, which practical experience from work also being conducted with the GHIP project has shown that district assemblies are interested in becoming more involved in health-related agendas. And it should be noted that this has led to several cost-sharing projects by communities who assist the district assemblies with either actual revenue or in-kind contributions. So what are we going to do with this information, and what are our next steps? So translating research into action. Facilitate trusted insurance development through guided diffusion practices. Facilitate for enhanced district assembly engagement and emergency referral outreach training programs for community health workers. So in terms of enabling for natural diffusion, this has to actually happen naturally. We can only facilitate and enable. And ideas for helping facilitate is this concept of learning by doing, facilitating an exchange program for peer observation of community financing schemes at the community level, and convening communities through DURBARs, which are, for those not familiar, a DURBAR is a community meeting which are commonly held in Ghana for education or for other information sharing. So convening communities through DURBARs and inviting neighboring leaders and opinion leaders to attend. And how do we facilitate for enhanced district assembly engagement? So this can actually happen two ways. So practical experience from the GHIP project, which is trying to expand CHIP's coverage within the area, has shown that district assemblies are really getting interested in health. And by coaching and supporting district health management teams to directly engage with district assemblies on the need for emergency transport. Then secondly, to work at the community level and support the mobilization of community-level advocacy to district assemblies. And a way that we could do that is by having visiting DURBARs, where representatives from one community can come to another to see what they're doing. Another thing that has been discussed frequently by the team is how to better define mechanisms for promoting the idea of recognition of district assemblies for their contributions. Because this is now becoming involved within the political system, the district assemblies need to be recognized for what they're doing. And so we're kind of exploring ways and how to engage that. Lastly, emergency referral outreach training program for community health workers and community health volunteers. And this can include active coaching and trainings with community health workers on how they can play a more supportive role in the initiation and maintenance of these schemes. And the fact that delaying to seek care is still a very serious issue within the area that we're working, these nurses have an important avenue of access because of the outreach work that they do. And they can actually target pregnant women because they're already going to be conducting ANC visits. And then lastly, another focus and area which we're trying to figure out where to go with right now is community level triage. And that remains a very serious gap. There's actually not any curriculum right now which kind of targets triage at this level. So we're trying to explore ways in terms of developing that right now. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on with the GHIP project and with the ARCHES program, please visit our websites, and I'd like to thank you for your attention.